Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Picture Book Look podcast. I'm Kim Chafee.
And I'm Kirsty Call. Together, we'll share some of our favorite picture books and chat with their creators to explore the journey from story idea to bookshelf.
We'd love you to join us as we take a picture book look. Feeling stuck in your creative journey? Needing to change your narrative? Everything you want is possible.
As a therapist trained life coach for creatives, I'm excited to help authors like you create clarity and build self-confidence so you can achieve your dreams.
Kirsty can help you get the drama out of your life and into your art. Visit kirstincall.com. That's KirstinCall.com and register for a free consultation today.
Hooray! I can't wait for us to work together to get you where you want to be. Hey, Kim.
Hey, Kirsty.
Do you ever carry a notebook around?
Ooh, I know as a writer, I'm supposed to probably answer yes to this.
Yes, you are.
But I honestly don't. I do write in a notebook every morning. You know, at first thing after I make my cup of coffee, I just get my thoughts out.
Oh, I love that. That's perfect.
But yeah, it's really helpful for me. But I don't carry one around with me.
Well, I do carry a notebook around most of the time, but not that I write in it very often, like almost never.
Just in case.
But just in case the brilliant idea comes. And I have a daughter who, as soon as she could toddle around, she would carry around this tiny little notebook and a little pen. For years, aww, she did that. She's now 14, so she would never do that now, but yeah, it was cute.
That's what happens when they get teenagers.
So the book we're talking about today, The Notebook Keeper, I mean, the title alone totally entrances me.
Yes, definitely. Same for me. The Notebook Keeper, A Story of Kindness from the Border, written by Stephen Briseño and illustrated by Magdalena Mora, is such a beautiful and powerful story.
We're excited to talk to Stephen, Magdalena, and their editor, Anne Kelly. Let's get started. All right, Stephen, we love you. You are one of our most avid supporters, and it's very exciting to interview a podcast listener.
Yes!
And this book is so beautiful. So what inspired you to write this powerful story?
I was actually on the way home from my uncle's funeral. I had gone alone, left my family in San Antonio, and he had died very suddenly. And so I was very contemplative on the ride home from Dallas to San Antonio. And in order to get my mind off of it, I threw out an episode of This American Life. And I picked one literally at random. I was driving. I was as safely as I could. And I just listened to the podcast. And
such a good podcast.
Play on just literally just like flick my finger, press play, and the very first story was about The Notebook Keeper. And I was so enthralled, and a part of me was angry. I'm like, I can't believe that this is what's happening to people, that this is the system that they had to go through. But then on the same side of it, I was also utterly surprised by the kindness and the humanity of the people that were helping them. And so that story, once it was over, I immediately listened to it again. And then I was quiet the rest of the car ride. I thought about that story for 4 months. And eventually I kept telling my wife about it. I'm like, this is just crazy. And then she said, you should write a picture book about it. And I was like, I should. And at that point, I was just like, I had written a few manuscripts, queried a few agents, but I was very fresh. And So eventually I did, and I knew, like, okay, I'm going to tell the story of a kid's experience of what it would be like to encounter the notebook keeper. So, yeah.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's a great story. I love that. And when you first saw this manuscript, what was it that really stuck out to you? What made you want to acquire it?
You know, I think there are a few things. First of all, the writing is so beautiful. You know, it's lyrical and poetic. And for such a big topic, it's quite spare. I found it to be quite spare. So I love that about it. And it's just so emotional. You know, you really connect with Noemi and her mother, and they feel like such fully realized characters. So I just really connected with that family. And then finally, I couldn't believe I'd never heard of this. You know, like, I'd never heard of this system at the border, and it was based on true events. So that really appealed to me too. I like, everyone should know about this, right? So it was a combination of the writing and the subject and the sort of, you know, the true events. It was the whole package for me, and I, you know, and it went to auction. So
amazing.
I did not know this. That's very exciting.
It's so exciting. So
wow.
And can you give us a look into your illustrator selection process?
Yeah, I was so lucky because I think I signed this manuscript up just as Equality Calls came out. Maggie's, was that your first book, Maggie? I think so.
Yeah.
And I just was like, oh, this illustrator, I was in the back of my head anyway, like as somebody I really wanted to work with. And then when I signed up the notebook keeper, I kept seeing her images sort of pop into my head. And I feel like Maggie's characters are so unique and so such individuals. And we really wanted that for this book. And also her use of color is incredible. You know, yes. Like you'll see that in the notebook keeper, those pink skies, my goodness. So it was a combination of those things. And it just really happened very quickly. It was a no-brainer for me. I was like, oh, let's try and see if Magdalena would be interested in this. And it worked out. So we were really lucky.
Yay. Definitely.
It's beautiful. Gorgeous. It's so beautiful. Magdalena, what was it that made you want to say yes to working on the project?
Yeah, well, first off, thank you so much, Annie. That's here. But I think it was one of these projects where I read the manuscript and kind of knew immediately. I didn't really even have to think twice about it. I think part of it, first and foremost, it was just Stephen's writing. Like Annie said, it was, it was spare in the best way. And then it was also like, one, I just haven't seen too many picture books about the border. And to be able to capture the story of the border in a way that's very honest, but also really hopeful is a really, I think, a hard balance to strike because, you know, you want to stay true to the experiences of the folks who are at the border and of asylum seekers, but also to do that in a way that leaves glimmers of hope for young readers. It just felt like such, like Stephen just, I really connected to the approach that Stephen took with that. And then, you know, personally, so my dad's side of the family is from Mexico and we lived in Texas growing up. And so as a kid, we would take the bus and we'd cross the El Paso border checkpoint. So a different one than the one that's in the story. But there's also like, I think with all border checkpoints, there's kind of like a commonality. There's like this bustling sense of chaos and there's like this sense of waiting and in-betweenness. And it's like a very hard feeling to capture unless you've been there. And so I love the idea of being able to capture this like experience and this feeling that was so central, I feel like, to my childhood and to my like family growing up. But yeah, I think I was drawn to that sense of place too.
Well, you did such a stunning, beautiful job. And the words and the illustrations in this book fit together perfectly.
Yes. There's so much emotion. It's really, really beautiful.
Stephen, this particular book especially has so much heart in it. Can you give us a look into your writing process?
Before I began writing picture books, I was writing a lot of poetry and getting it published online in different literary journals and stuff. And so that has always been a part of who I am as a writer, and of trying to be as economical with my words as possible, try to capture as much as possible. So I've always read poetry. So that's kind of part of my process, is I'm always reading poetry. There's a few online literary magazines that I use, but I always start the morning with a poem or two from one of those websites, and then I just set a timer for 30 minutes and I write. With this story, I really thought about it though. I researched a ton. Google was my friend for a long time. I read everywhere that I could, and this one, once that it was, I thought I was ready, I just wrote it. And this one kind of came out fully formed after months of thinking. But normally I spend a lot of time in the morning with a cup of coffee and a poem, and I just start writing and see where things go.
That sounds glorious. A cup of coffee and my writing and a poem.
And it makes sense. It makes sense, too, because the book is kind of written like a free verse poem. It's so beautifully lyrical.
So beautifully. So, Anne, when the story came into you, was it in pretty good shape? Like, how much editing work did you guys do together before you called it ready to go?
You know, I can be a quite a heavy editor, but I really wasn't on this project. It was, you know, I feel like so many beautiful parts of this manuscript I didn't even touch. Like, the ending never changed. I don't think the opening lines changed. We did reorder some places and play with words in some places. So we definitely we dug in there, but it was not a heavy edit at all. And, you know, as always with picture books, once you get the final art, then you do a little bit more editing and tweaking, mm-hmm. and sort of a little bit more happened there. But, you know, I would say this was not a big edit at all. I think Stephen agrees.
That's great.
So, Anne, do you have any tips for people who are writing picture books or submitting picture books?
I think the best tip is to read. And, you know, in the category you want to publish in, that's what I would do. And I would also look into sort of agents who you know, represent the kinds of books you're doing, and look at editors and their lists, and sort of just get an understanding of the whole industry. But I do think reading books, the types of books you want to publish, is the best advice.
Definitely.
I agree.
And I feel like that's such an accessible tip. Like that's something everyone can do. You don't have to go out and buy all the books. The library is available. So, you know, utilize that.
And even as an
card.
Editor, I still go to bookstores and libraries and read other people's mm-hmm. books and look for illustrators there. So it's a continual process for me too.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it's also so much fun to read other people's
books.
It
is. It's so fun.
I know.
Especially if they're good, then you can figure out what is it that makes this so good and how can I infuse that into my writing?
Yes.
I love it.
Exactly. Magdalena, I mean, we've been gushing about your art and those skies and just everything that you've put in here. There's so much emotion to your art. Can you give us a look into what the illustration process was like for the story?
Yeah, I'd say it first started with just doing a ton of research because, you know, I knew I obviously wanted to capture the emotional side through like facial expressions and characters and colors, but I also really wanted to focus on getting it right, you know, on getting the landscape right, on getting the scenery, and just those experiences, just trying to do my best to capture that as accurately as possible. And so I did just tons of photo research, and the research process for this book was a little bit different than the research process for some of my other books, because I had the opportunity to actually go to the border right before I started illustrating, as I was working in the sketching phase. And I was in California at the time, and a friend of mine was delivering PPE down in Tijuana. And so I tagged along and was able to capture some like first person research, which was mostly of just like the landscape. But I think that was like pretty formative because, you know, no matter how many photos you look at, you can't really capture a sense of the place. So as I started illustrating, I really like picked up on a few things few central themes that I really wanted to play up. So like this theme of hope and migration and, you know, it created this kind of dual narrative of like birds that, you know, throughout the story, you see a few birds and then over the course of the book, the birds kind of are more in number until the ending spread where Noemi and her mom are looking up at the sky and it's just kind of full of birds. And so, you know, I felt like Stephen had just like, there were, you know, this really strong overarching theme of hope. And so I tried to capture that symbolic, I like tried to think of what symbols could represent that in the artwork. Yeah, and then I think, you know, with every book, I try to pay attention to characters and making them as distinct as possible. But I felt like that was even more important in this book, just because I think, you know, whenever we read stories about migrants or asylum seekers, they're kind of described in mass. And I think a lot of their like individuality or their personal narratives can be erased. And so it was really important when I was illustrating this book just to make sure that, you know, facial features were super distinctive. Their clothing was really distinctive and like trying to pay attention to details to make every character, even if they weren't the main characters, feel sort of as real and as human as possible.
Well, you did a phenomenal job.
Wow, that's amazing.
I actually love your bird so much that I'm going to get one tattooed later this summer.
No way!
So, was my favorite. Like, I love the bird, so it's going to go right here on my forearm. So.
That's a fantastic idea. I love that.
So we have one last question for each of you. And let's start with you, Anne. When someone reads this book, what do you hope they feel or learn?
I think two things. I think Maggie just talked about how, you know, sometimes you think about situation at the border and you see like a mass of people, but I think these fully rendered characters of Noemi and her mother and others, it makes you really put a face to what's happening and makes you empathize more. So I think that's one thing I hope kids get from it, is to sort of personalize the experience a little bit. And also, you know, this book is about, as we've talked about, the power of hope and kindness in difficult and dark times. And I think that's just such an amazing thing to carry forward and to take away from the book.
Definitely.
I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Magdalena, how about you? Same question.
Yeah, I think pretty similar to, well, first and foremost, like this story was, it was the first time I had heard about this particular kind of narrative of like a notebook keeper and people sort of like creating their own sort of like systems of organization and governance at the border. And so I think for me, it was just like an education into a new narrative. And so I hope that, you know, I hope that one, it just brings more awareness to sort of like all of the different detail or all of the different stories that are present at the border. And then I also hope that, like, you know, it's kind of a launching pad for people to maybe read other stories about this or, you know, do their own research or kind of dig deeper. And then, yeah, like Annie said, I think just, you know, the story is about community and hope and kindness and how that can really how that can make a difference. You know, like I think the ending of the story is left pretty open-ended, but I think you definitely get the sense that, you know, there is still like a strong sense of love and connection between Noemi and her mama and the notebook keeper. And you know, I hope that that is at least like a sentiment that everyone can really resonate with, that the power of connection can really take you through some dark times.
Definitely. And what about you, Stephen? What do you hope people feel or learn when they read The Notebook Keeper?
Well, as a Texan, the feelings towards the border are so polarized and charged that I really hope that both kids and the adults that are reading this story to them, that they see the border in a different light, that they see it, that they see the humanity of it, where it's not just just a single face or a single story, but they see like the nuance of it. They see how heartbreaking it can be, but also how hopeful it can be to leave your country, to come to America and all that that means. But I also hope that there's a sense of hope and that they can be kind, just like the notebook keeper, wherever they are.
A big thank you to Stephen, Magdalena, and Anne for joining us today and giving us a look into the creative process for The Notebook Keeper. Check out the show notes to learn more about Stephen and Magdalena and the other fabulous books they have out in the world. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you won't miss an episode, and we would love it if you would leave a review. Thanks for listening, and
happy looking!
Picture Book Look is produced by Kirsty Call and Kim Chafee. Music by James Call.